All right, I got it. You name your kid Harutyun, Resurrection. But you name your kid Vrej, Revenge? Who would do that? Well, we do. And we also subscribe to Armodoxy. It's Armenian Orthodoxy in its purest form. This is Father Voskin, priest of the Armenian Church, inviting you to join us now for episode number 438 of The Next Step.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes, welcoming you to our ninth year of broadcasting The Next Step. The Next Step is a step, a stride, moving us forward. Here, Father Voskin provides his unique and distinctive voice for Armenian Orthodoxy, giving an intelligent and practical answer to the challenges of life, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by Jesus Christ. It's a practical approach to melding spirit and passion in the real world. The Next Steps are serious, fun, informative, and most of all relevant, as religion should be. So get ready. We're taking the next step.
You are the beginning and you are the end. Since the light of your mercy is never obscured by the darkness of indignity. Isn't that beautiful? From Saint Gregory of Narek, one of Naregatsi's powerful prayers of healing. And I wanted to share that with you as we begin today's podcast. We're going to be going more into that specific prayer because something happened last night that I need to share with you today that I really, really need. And it begins with that prayer, but also that prayer beginning of our podcast. It's been really one of those unusual weeks. Last Sunday, we were in Palm Springs at the St. Garabed Armenian Church, where I had a beautiful opportunity to share the Divine Liturgy and a message with the community there. Just very, very inspiring, the environment, especially out there in the desert. You know, takes you a different place when you have that environment. It's just beautiful, beautiful church. St. Garabed Armenian Church. I think the city there is called Rancho Mirage. But as we were going there, we saw this horrific accident. And as we were passing by the accident, it made every kind of news possible, and not only local news, it made national news. 13 people were killed on the spot. I don't know, incinerated or what. What we saw was the incinerated remains of the bus that hit a truck, and it ended up stopping up the entire traffic. We had finished the Divine Liturgy around 12:30. We were on the road back to Los Angeles, and it took us, which is usually about an hour and a half trip without traffic. It took us almost, a little more than 6 hours. I was going to say close to 7 hours, but I guess we did stop for some fueling. But just a tragedy, and it really got me because you understand life and death in a different moment at that point. You know, you're celebrating the celebration of life, the Divine Liturgy, and yet you've just kind of passed by this incident where 13 people have died, another 20 people were sent out to hospitals. You've passed by this horrific accident. And it's almost like, that's a section, it's a compartment of life. Now you go on and you do your Divine Liturgy. And then on the way back, it takes you 6 hours to do a 1.5 hour trip. So you register that as inconvenience, right? When all along there are just families that have been devastated. Because of this incident. And you try to process that, and we just don't have the means nor the time to process these huge, huge events. Think about it for a moment. They're bigger than what you could ever imagine, and yet we process them in terms of small little sound bites, information that comes to us. We process it, and then we're done with it. We spew it out. We throw it out. Now, this today, what I would like to share with you is a very special prayer, a prayer of healing that I needed to use last night, and I'll give you the background on that. But for the second portion of today's show, we're going to be talking about revenge, because revenge also had its moment this weekend. Just a lot of things going on right now in life, and I don't even know how to get into the whole political climate. I shared with you last week, I mean, some difficulties when you're trying to vote your conscience, and you realize that, well, there is no way to justify either of these candidates. And is it okay to vote for the lesser of two evils? My sister the other day, we were talking about it, and she said, well, voting for the lesser of two evils is still voting for evil. And she had a point. But then you have to think about, well, are there any really clean people in politics? Yeah, you want to see some clean people, watch Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. Remember that movie? I think it was probably 1940s. If you haven't seen it, it's definitely worth seeing. Jimmy Stewart, definitely, highly recommended. Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. But is there something clean about politics? I was reminded today, just picking up my mail, and it's election year, and there's a couple candidates, both of whom have been very active within the Armenian community. One, and both of them non-Armenian. One is Portantino, very nice guy. I've met him on several occasions. Seems genuine. And the other one is Mike Antonovich, who sends out a flyer. Check this out. This is really interesting. Mike Antonovich, support a true friend of the Armenian community. Uh-huh. This is a true friend of the Armenian community. So I guess I should support this guy. Now, you turn it over, and there's pictures, beautiful pictures on here. One of them is he is shaking hands with His Holiness Vazgen the First of blessed memory. Now, His Holiness passed away in 1994, so this picture is at least 22, 23 years old, at the very least, but it looks a little bit more vibrant, Vazgen Catholicos. I would venture to say this is probably about a 30-year-old picture, okay? Then he's got a picture of young Mike shaking hands with Governor George Dukmejian. 1991, the protests, he was there. And then at the very end, he's got a picture of him with, well, you had Vazgen Catholicos of blessed memory, and then you have Aram the First Catholicos, and an archbishop, the local archbishop, and Mike Antonovich. And so it's basically a very well-balanced-off ad. And you look at it and you say, wow, good man. You know, he supports the Armenian. I don't know what he supported. Doesn't say. He's met with a lot of people. He's met with a lot of Armenians. And my personal experience with the man was when we went to him to ask for help for Dativ Outreach, to help with Armenian women who were the subject of the victims of domestic violence. And he basically lied to us and told us he was going to help and just kind of like pacified us, so to speak. So personally, I'm not really one of his big fans, not even a fan of his. But it just really intrigues me, because we're concerned about how do we vote? How do we vote? Which one do you vote for? And then the lesser of two evils. Are there people that are okay, that you should vote for? And what about these career politicians? Case in point, Mike Antonovich. I mean, he's out of being a supervisor. He was a county supervisor for how many years? And he was outed because of term limitations. They passed a resolution that, you know, you can only serve so many years, basically trying to end career politicians. And so from one chair, he bounces over to the next one. Okay, yeah, I know he's very, very popular. In fact, so popular that I don't think he lost any of those elections that he was in. So popular that arguably he was one of the most powerful men, not only in Los Angeles, but in the entire state of California. Very, very powerful by virtue of his position. And you hear all this stuff, and you say, well, how did he get to be that powerful? Was it because he planted rosies and posies here and there? Was it because he was nice to people? Well, at some point, you got to realize the reality of life. People get to certain positions because they have to step on people, right? Is that correct? I don't know. I mean, it's something that we're really concerned about and thinking about, especially this year, where you've got two candidates, both of them unpopular, both of them are really just loaded with flaws, and you're saying, well, I'm going to vote for one and not the other. And why are you voting for that one? Well, because I don't want to vote for the other. It's basically this negative vote that you have to give. And and you say, well, you know, like I said, you know, the lesser of two evils, it's still evil. Well, is there anybody that's been good? And then you do this mental exercise. You just go through a history book. Look at the presidents that we've had. We've had Bush. We've had Clinton, another Bush. We've had Reagan. We've had Jimmy Carter, Nixon, Johnson, Kennedy, Eisenhower, Truman, and Roosevelt. Okay, I went backwards all the way to World War II. Actually, went up to the Great Depression. Okay, backwards is a list of presidents. And you go, oh, there were some great ones. Well, what was different? Let's think about that for a moment. What was different back then? Why were they great? Is it possible? Is it just possible? And I'm just putting this out there for you. Is it just possible that it's not so much that this character of the presidents didn't change, but it's the circumstances that have changed, namely the information, the flow of information. So now we have that information being thrown at us, right and left. So, okay, you look at a Roosevelt, you look at a Kennedy, you look at a Carter, you look at a Reagan. They got to very high positions, and you say, oh, well, look how noble they were and all the things that they did. Was it because that there wasn't this flow of information that was just bombarding us? I mean, think about it. When Barack Obama was elected president 2008, iPhones, which basically opened the doors to the idea of smartphones, of having a computer in your pocket and being connected. 2008, iPhones had just come out. They had just come out, 2007. Okay? Think about where Facebook was, where Snapchat was. Think about where Twitter was at that time. Social media was a word, a phrase that was just being coined. And it was usually in the terms of young people, in terms of college. I mean, think about Facebook. It was, first of all, just only college students that were out there. Now everybody's just tweeting around. Everyone is just Snapchatting, Instagramming. Everybody's putting up. These social media networks have become basically means by which we have become the investigator. We've become the informant. We are the reporter, the cameraman, the producer, and the distributor of information. And each one of us is doing this. And think about this. We've taken it on ourselves to show people, hey, look, this is where I am. Now I'm doing this. And the latest thing, of course, these live videos that people have. You remember we were doing that back, 10 years ago when we, poor Susie would be out there every Wednesday night when we were doing Bible studies. We'd do these massive hookups, you know, and I forgot even the names. They're now defunct companies that we used to get time on and server space. And she'd come in and we'd hardwire just so we could do a Bible study live. Now think about what we're doing now, right? With just a cell phone, you can broadcast. Sometimes near television quality. I mean, not only sometimes. I mean, you could compete against professional systems. Look at just what's going on YouTube alone. You've got people. What was it? I think last week. Yeah, it was 60 Minutes. 60 Minutes had this incredible episode about people who were using the internet to broadcast themselves and the millions of dollars that they were making with just basically some very non-professional amateur equipment, i.e. your cell phone. Okay, these things weren't around in previous elections. And so information wasn't flowing at that point. And so you have to wonder, was everybody okay? Or is it just right now that we have so much information that we know that one is a thief? We know that we could get recordings of the other one. We know one is lying to us. We know that this one has been talking about this way and that way. You know, interesting, right? And then all of a sudden, I lead it off with a prayer. Why? Well, yesterday, I had a very interesting conversation. And I really think that, especially like what our ministry is doing right now, the way God really moves us to be at different places. And I happened to be at the diocese to record my weekly show. And I was heading out to the car, and then something happened where I saw somebody else. And I said, let me go inside and say hello. And it basically was a question of 1 second off. If I had done 1 second later, or if I had gone to my car, I would have missed this episode. But all of a sudden, one of the priests called me over, and he said, this lady needs help. So I go there, and I start talking to this woman. And she describes the situation with her daughter. Her daughter, who is going through some what sounded like schizophrenia and going through some very mentally disturbing situations. And we talked quite a bit. We talked for at least a good half hour just outside and listened to all the difficulties as a mother that she was going through dealing with this child who had been diagnosed with different kinds of mental disorders and then having to deal with that. And then I saw something beautiful in her, was her faith. She kept going back to her faith and talking about the power of God and really surrendering to that power of God. Acknowledging the reality of what she's facing, but at the same time also acknowledging that there is something greater than herself and her problems. It was something that I had not seen in a long, long time. In fact, it reminded me of that, you know, that story of the centurion, you know, when Jesus was going to Capernaum and a centurion comes up to him and says, Lord, my servant lies at home paralyzed. And my servant is struggling. And Jesus asks the centurion. Now remember, the centurion is a Roman, right? He's not part of the usual group over there. And Jesus asks him, he says, should I come and heal him? We've talked about this in the past, right? This no duh moment. Yeah, well, of course, yeah. And the centurion replies, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. And he's basing that because he himself is a man under authority. And he says he has authority over other soldiers. And he says, I tell one to go and he goes, and the other one to come and he comes. And I say to one of my servants, do this and do that. And Jesus heard this and he was so amazed that he turns to his people and he says, truly, I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come with the east and the west and will take their places at the feast of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then Jesus turns to the centurion and he says, go, let it be unto you the way that you believe. And I had this just moment yesterday as this woman was talking, like, such great faith. And you want to just say, go. And you need to muster up the confidence. You need to believe that faith that you have, the size of a mustard seed, can transpose this mountain, can move that mountain. And if it can do that, just imagine what it can do to each and every one of our lives. And here there was this woman asking me, would you pray? And I listened to her, and she had been up against people who had told her, no, we don't do things like that. I couldn't believe it. I just couldn't believe it. What do you mean you can't pray? here's a woman who's just asking you to pray. So what I did is I assured her that not only would I pray, but we'd get it out to my prayer circle. Now I have about 20 women who are, since I was in Glendale, we started this small little prayer circle. Hey, you know what? If you're interested in being in that prayer circle, I would love to put you on that email list. It's a small little group. We could expand it. And so I promised her that I would put her name, her child's name, with this small group before the night was over. And then I asked her to do something. I said, you need to bring your daughter to church. And she says, oh, we go and we light candles. I said, no, you need to go to the Divine Liturgy, the presence of Christ in the Eucharist, the presence of Christ on that altar. And you need to participate in the Divine Liturgy and receive the body and blood of Christ. Now what happens? Now all of a sudden, the power's inside of you. Christ inside of you. Is there anything demonic, physical, that is more powerful than that Christ that is inside of you? And so last night, as I got home, I sent out that email to my prayer group, and I found this beautiful prayer, the one that I quoted a little bit earlier, but I do want to share the prayer, the entire verse for you, with you, because it was just very moving. This is from Saint Grigore Naregatsi. Remember Naregatsi, one of the big saints of the Armenian Church, and just last year, Pope Francis had named him as the 36th, there's been 35 up until now, 36th doctor of the Christian Church, of the Catholic Church, right? Yeah, it's nice that they finally acknowledge. But listen to this. Yours alone, God, in heaven, exalted and generous. Yours is the power and yours forgiveness. Yours is healing and yours abundance. Yours are the gifts, and yours alone grace. Yours atonement, and yours protection. Yours is creation beyond knowing. Yours are arts beyond discovery. Yours are bounds beyond measure. You are the beginning and you are the end, since the light of your mercy is never obscured by the darkness of indignity. You are not subject to disease in any form. You are too lofty for words, an image beyond framing, whose being is immeasurable, the breadth of whose glory is unbounded, the reach of whose incisive power is indescribable, the supremacy of whose absoluteness is uncontainable, the compassion of whose good works is unflagging. Saint Gregory of Narek, Sub Grigore Naregatsi, from the 16th chapter of his prayer. I'll have a link on today's show notes. Let's take a break right now. Here is the song for today. I'll be back in a few moments.
Ցանոր օրոցից ժիրմանուկը հարգին Եվ ամձայնասի Ուրեն որ լինես սիրտը մորդող լինի կեզ մի տուն Սիմբորի մայր Արցունքներ կան աչկերում Վեր պարզած քո ձերքերը Զավակիտ են հայցում Զինվորի մայր Դու հերոս ես ծնվել Եվ աստծո այդ պարգևը Քո որդուն ժառանգել Չում ես որդուտ դեպի տում Լուսավոր պատկերը տաց Մայրը իր գրծքին սեղմեց Այդ պահին ասես հանկարծ Իր որդին վերից զայնեց Միլացիր մայրիք եղ իր դոքաչ Մեր սուրպողն է մեր վկան Մեզ աստված պաշտպան Եվ այսպես հնչեց երկը, մոր երկը, նվիրական Սինորի մայր, արցունքներ կան աչկերում Վեր պարզած քո ձերքերը, զավակիտ են հայցում Սինորի մայր, դու հերոս ես ծնվել Եվ աստծո այդ պարգևը Քովորդուն ժառանգել
Shushan Petrosyan is the artist, the name of the song Zimvori Mayra, the soldier's mother, the mother of the soldier. I thought it would put us in the mood for what we're going to be talking about in a few minutes, vengeance. Revenge. What does God say? Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Yeah, well, we actually go one step more and we say it's ours. It's pretty cool, right? Anyway, today's song, Shushan Petrosyan, make a note of that name and do check out today's show notes. Go to her page, go to her songs. You'll find a wide variety. I mean, I was very impressed by this artist, just the wide variety of genres, of styles in which she sings. A beautiful voice. I hope you agree with me. Today's feature artist, Shushan Petrosyan, a link on today's show notes. The song you heard, Zimvori Mayra. We'll be back with maybe some thoughts of the Zimvori Mayra. Now, it's been said that the Eskimos, I don't know where you're going to go to validate this. You go to the Arctic Circle, you go to Alaska, not sure. But it's been said that the Eskimos have 50 different words to describe the word white, or for the word white, because in their circumstances, in their environment, white, the color of snow, they have different ways of describing that snow. What kind of snow it is, I guess. Is it white, solid white, hard packed white? I don't understand, but this is what I've heard. I certainly can't understand from an Armenian. I know that what's important in our lives has many, many different ways of being expressed. And what isn't important, usually you find it difficult to find the words. For instance, death. Isn't that interesting in the Armenian language? The word death. There are so many ways of saying death. Mernil. Mahanal. These are Armenian, Marta Mahatsov, the man died. We actually have words for animals, sadgil. In other words, an animal doesn't die, but is condemned to death almost, sadgil. A horrible word. But we also have a word of reverence, vachchanil, a person dies. We have in the Armenian church, the word for death is nunchel, which literally means to fall asleep. It's biblical, of course. Now, I'm saying this because what's important in a culture, in a group of people, will come out in their vocabulary. And certainly for Eskimos, the word white, certainly for Armenians, that word death, because they've seen so much of it. Whether it's you've seen so much white, you've seen so much death, these words will evolve in a culture, in a people that is living. What about revenge? Isn't that interesting? That Armenians use the word revenge, verej, as a proper name. You remember a few months ago I shared with you the proper name Harutyun. Literally means resurrection. Now you can't, you know, you're not going to find a ball player named Resurrection. But in Armenian, Harut, Harutyun, literally means resurrection. We name our kids Resurrection. And also we have named kids Verej, which literally means revenge. Revenge. Now, can you find a ball player? Can you find an actor whose name is Revenge? Pretty cool, huh? I met a Verej last week, and that's what I want to share with you today. Last Sunday, we were at the Rancho Mirage St. Garabed Church, and there, as we were getting ready to celebrate the Holy Divine Liturgy, I was greeted by the deacon of the church, and I had with me my son Sevan, who's a deacon, so he was going to be sharing time at the altar, sharing in that service. And then the choir master came up and introduced himself. Well, he was also a deacon, and he introduced us to his son named Verej. I'd say 7, 8 years old. So the choir leader introduces me to this nice young man, 7, 8-year-old young man named Verej, who's standing there in a choir robe. He's standing there in an altar robe. He's going to be serving at the Holy Divine Liturgy with us, with me, the deacons, and we're ready to start. And here he is, this nice, handsome young man of 7 or 8 years old, ready to serve with us. And I'm not really sure what he's going to do, but after I said the Lord's Prayer, he said, "Bless us, Ortnyader." So the first chant, the first welcome, or the first announcement in the church, invitation to come to prayer, was given by Verej. This young little man, a soft young voice, saying, "Ortnyader, bless us." It was so beautiful. The first announcement in the church for people to come together and pray. Revenge. Verej. Now, those of you who have been listening to The Next Step for a while know that we are on a quest. We are searching for the new vocabulary, so to speak. The new vocabulary that will allow us to talk about peace, that will allow us to, well, put out fires, not with fire, but with water, to entertain the notion that we can overcome evil with the power of good, that we can overcome hatred with love. Correct? Am I introducing anything new to you? This is what is the premise of this show? What is the next step? And I've always wondered, what is that missing link in our equation? And in a sense, I feel like I found it last Sunday. I found the missing link. And that's just basically experience. That's just basically patience. It's having the time. In other words, how can we answer hatred with love? Jesus commands us. He says, do not resist evil, but answer evil with love. Pray for those who persecute you. What? You have heard that you should love your friends and hate your enemies. I tell you what. I tell you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Love my enemy. Wow. That's novel. It's so novel that that's really, I think, the bottom line of what got Jesus in trouble. That is what is completely unique about the Christian message. It's about this intense, extreme love. Well, yeah, we can all understand loving people that love us back. Or doing good to people who do good for us. I mean, isn't that what the whole practice at Christmas is all about, right? You give gifts to people that you know are going to give back to you. Yeah, the Christmas spirit, right? Come on. That's what it's about. But Jesus pushes us to the next level. I mean, think about it. Doing good to somebody who does good to you, or the reverse of it, doing bad to somebody who does evil to you, that's human. But doing bad to someone who does good to you, that's in the league of the devil, right? In other words, that's true evil. Someone does good to you and you return that good with evil. No. But when you do good to someone who does evil to you, that's in the league of God. That's divine. That's divine love. That's what Jesus is pushing us to do. And so we get into this whole issue because we start thinking about, well, how can that be possible? I mean, it hurts. It hurts to be hurt. Evil hurts. Violence hurts. How can you answer violence with love, with goodness? This has been the question that we've had on Next Step. This is where we've been going with Armadoxy. You know, it's that missing piece that we've been looking for, that missing link of connecting it all. Look, Jesus says something 2,000 years ago. It reverberates. It's been tried or it hasn't been tried. We don't know throughout history, but we know at this juncture in our life that there is so much evil in the world. And for us, we haven't lived in the past. We read history about it, but now we're confronted with evil face to face. And we're saying, can we respond with goodness? And then we meet Veresh. Revenge. Think about what St. Paul said. St. Paul writes, beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Well, in that case, what St. Paul is really saying is, hey, don't worry about it. You want to get back at somebody, leave it for God. God will really smack them in the face and really will take care of them. But that's not what Christ is talking about, is he? It's not talking about Jesus. Jesus is not talking about a God that's going to come and basically do you right, take care of you at that moment. But he's talking about an incredible power that you have. It's the God that's within you to be able to answer that hatred with love. And so we question ourselves, is that possible? And then I meet little Veresh, this 8-year-old boy, who in the middle of the desert at a church called St. Garabed, Armenian church, gets up wearing an Armenian church robe and he sings the prayers of the Holy Divine Liturgy, the Sur Badarak. And you say, well, and what are you talking about? Well, don't you get it? That's revenge. I mean, think about it. 100 years ago, they said that there wouldn't be any Armenians left. In fact, it was one of the Turkish proclamations, one of the Turkish officials. During the genocide, he says, there will be one Armenian left, and that Armenian will be stuffed and put into a museum so people could know that there used to exist somebody named an Armenian. There's only supposed to be one left. Well, guess what? 100 years later, in this little desert, there is a group of Armenians who are praying their Armenian prayers, who are praising God in their Armenian language, doing the divine liturgy that has been passed down to them through the century. And guess what? Here is a new generation, a new boy who gets up and he sings. And he proclaims. He invites people by saying, Ortnyader, invites people to the participation in that liturgy. Okay, now you want to talk about revenge? Isn't that the ultimate revenge? There it is. And guess what? Not one shot was shot. Not one person was killed. Blood was not shed. Instead, revenge came about by proclaiming love. By proclaiming the power of Christ in that divine liturgy. Now you tell me. Does it work or doesn't it work? And that's what I found. That's the missing piece. That's the missing link in that whole Armodoxy equation. We are just impatient. We don't get it, that there is an incredible power in love, that there is an incredible power in the good, and it can overcome the evil. It can win out against hatred. We just have to be patient enough. And we're not. We want instant gratification. It's the same story that we were talking about a few minutes ago. At the top of the show, when we were discussing how politics has changed, it's not the politics that have changed, it's our perception of it, our need for instant information. Well, it's the same kind of thing. What do you mean? Jesus says that you can overcome evil with good? Okay, I'll smile in the face of evil. Oh, guess what? It doesn't work. All right, let's go back. Let's pick up a gun. Let's pick up our bombs. Let's start hitting each other. Let's start beating each other. Let's start killing each other. Why? Because I smiled in the face of evil and I saw that it didn't work. Well, I'm sorry, folks. It's not that clear. It's not that fast. Because it's not that fast, it doesn't become that clear, right? In little Verej, that young boy, revenge, I felt like I saw that real revenge. It's showing the power of love. That here was a little boy proclaiming God's majesty. Here was a little boy proclaiming that power is there for us to tap into. Here was a little boy, 100 years later, after something that was supposed to not include him in the equation in 2016. But there he is, at this church, celebrating the divine liturgy, celebrating it with his love, with his words, with his actions, with his family. Any greater revenge than to be alive, than to be sharing love, than to say that you tried, but you couldn't do it. You gave us a cross, but I have the resurrection. And I believe in that resurrection. That's the missing piece. That's the missing piece. It's that patience. We're human. And on top of humans, we all have different virtues. Definitely, I've shared with you, I don't have patience. But it's time that we get it. It's time that we learn. That yes, we can win out over evil by not changing the language that we need to speak. By being patient with the language that we speak. The language of love requires patience. It requires discipline. It requires us to be in the moment and not look beyond the moment and not look back in the moment, but to exist in that moment. In the I am moment, in the he is moment, in that moment of absolute perfection, of absolute unity with all of the universe. And then you start looking around you and you see that there is a harmony. And that harmony is about the power of love winning out over the evil. I found it. It's the missing link in Armadoxy. Now I've shared it with you. Now we got to put it into action. A little bit more patience all around, right? Okay, our quest continues right after Susie makes her announcement.
Susie here again. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are now in the ninth year of producing shows which are heard around the globe. Since 2008, we've provided quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. Please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Well, thank you, Susie, for that announcement, and thank you all for all of your prayers, your donations, your support to keep this ministry going. We are the ultimate verej, the ultimate, revenge. We're saying it like it is and proving that the power of love is way beyond all the power of evil and hatred that people could muster against us or anybody in this world. Do be a partner with us. You can go on our website and press on the donate button at inhisshoes.org and be a part of this ministry. I want to make a couple of announcements, a couple dates to give you. Last week we were in Rancho Mirage, St. Garabed. We'll be at St. James Armenian Church in Los Angeles this coming Sunday, October 30th, a day before Halloween, All Hallows Eve. And I did want to speak about that today, but didn't get a chance to, so please go to our archives, epostle.net or on iTunes or on Stitcher Radio. Go to our archives and check out some of the holiday editions that we've done about the holiday Thanksgiving. I'm jumping the game, aren't I? Of Halloween. I will put a link on today's show notes to a couple of my favorites. Do check it out because Halloween is a very special day that sometimes gets unnoticed and gets some bad press. It's important that we give it some good press. And we certainly do over here. Listen, Armadoxy is all about finding that faith that talks about revenge in a positive way, finding that language of peace, of harmony, and of love. And we have that capability. We're asking you to join us and share in providing that. Two dates that I need you to write down on your calendar. The first one is March 3rd, 4th, and 5th. Write it down, 2017. And we're going to have a 3-day conference at the St. Leon Armenian Cathedral. Archbishop Hovnan Derderian, the primate, has given us the entire facility on that first weekend in Lent to put together this conference called Embracing Our Faith in a Changing World. It's an opportunity for us to really, really dig in deep with our faith, learn new things, share with one another. So I need you to be out here. It's in Southern California, in Burbank, California, at the St. Leon Cathedral, and very easy to remember. 3 days on the third day of the third month, 333, March 3rd, 4th, and 5th, 2017. It's a conference Embracing Faith. The other date I need you to put on your calendar is going to be July 7th, 2017, 7-7-17, and that is the Desi Annual event of forgiveness, the forgiveness conference. We haven't selected, finalized our selection on the venue, on the place. Do bear with us a couple more weeks. We should be making that announcement, but put it on your calendar. You need to come to these events, and it would be great to see some next steppers, especially at the conference in March, especially in July. So get your tickets early to come out here. You know, if you fly, if you make your reservations early, you get here. Yeah, just like pennies on the dollar, right? It's very easy. And I'll tell you what, if you need help in the registration fees, we've got people who are willing to donate those registration fees. We'll get you in there. Just get out here. Buy, steal, cheat. What? No, you didn't hear it from me. Just get out here, okay? I know you could figure out a way to do that, okay? So mark those two dates on your calendar, the weekend of March 3rd through 5th and July 7th, 2017. That brings us to the end of today's show. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed putting it together. We want to invite you to get involved with us during the week. We're on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram and all the usual places that you find us. And of course, at the mothership, inhisshoes.org. Listen for the wonderful people who put this show together. For Susie, our producer, Ken, our engineer, this is Father Voskin inviting you again next week to take the next step. Finally, this Sunday, I'm going to be out at the Rancho Mirage Armenian Church. I believe it's called St. Garabed. Yes, St. Garabed Armenian Church, Rancho Mirage. I look forward to seeing you if you're out there in the desert. Listen for the wonderful crew who put today's show together. For Susie, our producer, Ken, our engineer, this is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of vpostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Top visits.